Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning at the very bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. Omar Rabbi Chamo Bar Chanina, Mipnei Ma Nemro Parshas Roitzchem Boloshon Azo, Dichtiv, Vayedaber Hashem El Yoshua Leimor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Tnu Lochem Es Orei Hamiklor Asher Divarti Aleichem. The question is, why is it that the Parshas Rotzchem is stated with a forceful expression? The forceful expression is the word dibur, vayedaber. We saw in this pasuk that Hashem spoke to Moshe, daber el bnei Yisrael. The word dibur indicates a harsh or forceful way of speech. And this pasuk features HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction to Yoshua to set up the Orei Miklot. Rashi at the very top says, B'loshen Azo, B'chol Yoshua Ksiv, in the Sefer Yoshua, it says, in the book of Joshua, it says, Vayomer Hashem, V'kan Ne'mar Vayedaber Hashem El Yoshua, V'dibor Loshen Azhu. So that we see that this expression is different than the standard Vayomer, indicating something of a forceful nature. So the Gemara answers, Mipnei Shehein Shel Torah, because this dibur of this speech or addressing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yeshua involves a matter that's of a Torah nature, something that's d'oraisa, as opposed to in other words, to fulfill a mitzvah that's found in the Torah, namely the setting aside of the Orei Miklat. That is, as opposed to the other speeches or discussions, addressings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yeshua, which were not in order to fulfill something stated in the Torah. You can see that we have a brackets here, and an explanation of the brackets is found on the side where you notice a star. Matras hasugrayim, the purpose of these brackets, kedei shei efshur lirois shema shemufia lifneihem, to enable you to see that that which appears before the brackets, kashur lapligi, is related to the pligi, which is a reference to controversy, demofia miyad acharem, that appears immediately after the bracketed section. Besocha sugrayim, mevaris, within the bracketed section, there will be clarification, haim loshon dibur be'emes loshon kosher. Is the use of the term dibur, in fact, a loshon kosher, forceful type of expression? So, that having been said, one will have completed reading this piece of Gemara that said that the Loshen Azo is a function of it being Shel Torah. If you skip the bracketed section momentarily, and you continue reading, Pligi Bo Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbonon, Charom Rabnei Shehiham, V'Charom Rabnei Shehen Shel Torah. And you see the expression, Rabnei Shehen Shel Torah, ties in directly to that which we said right before the bracketed section. Going back over now the Gemara straight through with the brackets, let's draw your attention also to another one of our marking features. We have a bracket length indicator. This you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a dashed, dotted, vertical line. The number of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this this marking are part of the brackets. And you can see that the end of this dashed dotted line, the opposite line in the Gemara, is where the bracket ends. So let us continue now with the bracketed section. Lameimra, are you to suggest the whole dibur loshon kosher, that the expression of dibur, when you see like the word vayedaber, that indicates something of a harsh or forceful nature? The Gemara says, in, yes, that's what we're saying, kedichtiv, as it says, as the pasuk says, with regard to Yosef and his brothers, and the brothers report back to Yankov how Yosef spoke to them, diber ho'ish adonai ha'aretz itanu kashos. So you see the word diber, and you see at the end of the pasuk, the word kashos. We've dashed underlined the word kashos in order to draw your attention to it being the source of the idea that Dibir is harsh. The Gemara asks the Hot Tanya, but we have the following Tanaic source, which features a pasuk, Nidbiru, Ein Nidbiru Ela Loshon Nachas. The word Nidbiru is a loshon of pleasantness, something that's humble or lowly. V'chein hu omer Yadber Amim Tachtenu. You see, the word Tachtenu means underneath. Yadber is to lead nations to be under us. In other words, that which is underneath is not which is strong. So the Gemara is asking from this source that you see the word dibur is related to something that's underneath or quiet or subdued. As the pasuk says, Yadber Yamim Tachtenu, nations shall be subdued under us. So the Gemara answers, Daber Lechud, Yidaber Lechud, or Yadber Lechud. In this pasuk you saw the word Yadber, that's one thing. But Dibir, like in our pasuk, or Daber El Bnei Israel, or Vayidaber Hashem El Yeshua, that's a separate thing. That is, in fact, something of strength, of forcefulness. Pligi Ba Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbanan. We mentioned, or that this section of Gemara ties into that which was mentioned just above, that the Loshon Kasheh was because it's a shell Torah. We also have a geometric form that we want to draw your attention to. That's featured on the side under the Nosei Mivneh, the topic structural note. You'll see the diamond with the colored in tip featured, and they represent Gimel Machloikos Rabbi Yehuda Ubar Plukta, controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and he who is on the other side of the controversy. As we scan on in the Gemara, we're going to see that the one on the other side of the controversy changes. So we didn't mark his name off with a series indicator, but we do mark off Rabbi Yehuda's name with a double underline, one of our series indicators, because he will be appearing in each one of these sections. Befirush Mikros, their argument will be concerning the explanation of psukim, each one as it comes along. So let's continue. The first one, obviously, or as we mentioned before, ties into our topic. We've also added a numbering system, Roman numerals that appear to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara that are also enclosed in diamonds. So number one, Pligi Ba Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, Chad Omer Mipnei Shishiyam, the reason for the Loshon Koshe, or the Loshon Azah, this forceful Loshon, is because Yoshua delayed. He didn't set aside the cities immediately until he waited. He delayed until the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to do it. And as a result of his delaying, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him forcefully. V'chad Omer, the other opinion is, Mipnei Shehein Shel Torah, as we saw above, because the issue of the Orei Miklat is a reflection or is a continuation of something that's written in the Torah itself, giving it a certain level of prominence. Vayichtov Yoshua es Hadvorim Ho'ele v'Sefer Torah Salakim. This is a new point. Hence, right before this, you noticed we have a semicolon. This is not a doesn't relate on a topical level to that which was before, but on a structural level, it is related. So this is number two. We have a pasuk that says that Yoshua wrote these matters into the Sefer Torah. Pligi Bo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Yehuda, and in this case, the one that argues with him is Rabbi Nechemia, as opposed to the case before we saw the Rabbanon disagreeing. Here, Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Yehuda argue. Chad Omer Shmoyne Psukim. One says that this is a reference to the final eight psukim of the Sefer Torah, that they were written by Yoshua, as opposed to the rest of the Torah, which was written by Moshe. V'chad Omer Ore Miklat. That it's a reference to the Parsha of Orei Miklat that Yoshua wrote that appears in his Sefer. Bishlamo Lamande Omar Shmoyne Psukim. It works out well according to the opinion that the pasuk of Vayichta of Yeshua Esadvor Meilu the Sefer Torah Sukim is a reference to the eight psukim that are in the Torah itself. Hainu Dichtiv B'Sefer Torah Sukim. The pasuk said he wrote them in the Sefer Torah of Hashem, meaning the original, there were the basics, the original Sefer Torah. Elamando Ma'ore Miklat, but according to the opinion that this pasuk in Yeshua Perek Chavdalit is a reference to the Parsha of Ore Miklat in his Sefer, It's not in the Sefer Torah. It's not a reference to that which is in the Sefer Torah. My Sefer Torah Solakim. What does it mean that he wrote it in the Sefer Torah of Hashem, of the original Sefer Torah? Two more answers. Hochi Komar. Vayichtov Yoshua b'sifroi. Yoshua wrote in his book, in the book of Joshua, es hadvorim ho'ele haksuvim b'sefer Torah Solakim, matters, namely the Orei Mikvah, the cities of refuge, that are recorded in the Sefer Torah. Namely, in the Sefer Torah, there's a parsha of Orei Miklot, and Yoshua wrote a parsha concerning Orei Miklot as well in his own Sefer. A third topic, the Sefer Shetofro B'Pishdan, a Sefer Torah that whose sections are sewn together with Pishdan, with flax. Flax is the material from which linen threads are formed. So this discusses a Sefer Torah, which is made up of many sections of parchment on which the parshas of the Torah are written, and those sections are sewn together. So what happens if we might preface that the standard sewing material is taken from gidin that are found in an animal, in a kosher variety animal. In this case, the Gemara features a Sefer Torah that was sewn together not with gidin from an animal, but rather with flax. Pligi bo Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir. Chad omer kosher, v'chad omer posel. One says it's acceptable, and the other one says it's not. Laman demar posel. The opinion that holds that it's not legitimate, it's not a kosher way to do it, to sew together the Sefer Torah, dechtiv. Because the posuk says, let us preface the reading of this posuk by mentioning that the beginning of this posuk refers to tefillin. We've included the posuk on the side. It says in Shmos Perik Yud Gimel Posuk Tes, V'hoya l'cho l'ois al yodecho ulezikaroin bein aynecho l'man tia turos Hashem b'ficho ki b'yod chazako tziyacho Hashem b'mitzrayim. So the beginning of the posuk, you can see l'ois al yodecho zikaroin bein aynecho, that's a reference to the tefillin, tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. The end of the posuk mentions the Torah's Hashem. So the Gemara explains the opinion that holds posel dichtiv. The posuk that began by talking about tefillin says leman tia turas Hashem b'ficha. The iskish kol haTorah kulu l'tefillin. The rest of the Torah, namely a sefer Torah, is compared to tefillin. Ma tefillin, just like we know by tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai l'toifrin begidin. They through oral tradition they are to be sewn. The tefillin, in sewing the tefillin together, we sew them together with gidin. Af kol l'toifron begidin. So too anything else. In this case, we're talking about the Sefer Torah. That's the other thing that needs to be sewn. It is to be sewn with gidin, which are come from an animal. The idach, the opinion that says kosher, that it's kosher to have a Sefer Torah sewn together with pishdan, even though it doesn't come from an animal. What about the fact that the Torah, the Sefer Torah, is compared to tefillin? He says, ki iskish, when it is compared, lemoisar b'ficha, for regarding that it must be prepared on material that is mutter to consume, to the exclusion of unkosher variety animals. However, l'hilchaysav lo iskash. But as far as the other details, like the material used for sewing, that element, that area of detail, it the Sefer Torah is not compared to the tefillin. Rashi points out, ki iskash l'mutar b'ficha, dechtiv b'hai kra b'ficha. In your mouth, minha mutar b'ficha, something that you're allowed to eat. She'ein nichtovim al or behema tameya, that the Sefer Torah, like the tefillin, are not to be written. They're both; those are both elements that have writing, that you're writing on parchment. They are not to be written on parchment that comes from an unkosher variety animal. However, lehilchoy sehen, ledovar she'eino kosav b'torah. If you see, we have these brackets in the Rashi. Lo yalfinon behekesha. Something that's not written in the Torah, the issue of the material used for sewing them together, that is not written in the Torah. Let's go back over the Rashi with the bracketed section. Regarding the tefillin themselves, the fact that they are sewn closed using gidin, that itself is not found in the Torah. That is part of an oral tradition. So that is lo yafina b'keshu. We don't learn that information from the tefillin and transfer it over to a Sefer Torah to restrict Sefer Torah sewing to be with gidin. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav, Chazina lehu letfilin debei Chavivi. I saw the tefillin of Chavivi, that's my uncle, reference to Rabbi Chia, the tefiri bekisna. They were sewn together with flax. The Gemara points out, v'les hilchasot avasei, but we don't follow him. That, in other words, tefillin are to be sewn together with gidin. As we said, that is halacha l'moshe Sinai. The Mishnah. Before we go on and reading the Mishnah, let us take a look at our topic heading, Nosei. Eze Kohanim Machzirin B'misasin Ezerotzech Le'iro. Which of the Kohanim, more specifically Kohanim Gedolim, which one of them, upon their death, will the Rotzeach be able to leave, the murderer, the one who was exiled to the Ir Miklat, will he finally be able to leave the Ir Miklat and return to his own community? A second point, Machlokes Tanoim, Im Mashuach Milchama Machzir. We will see a Tanaic controversy regarding the death of the Mashuach Milchama. He is the appointed Kohen who serves to lead the nation into battle. He's called Mashuach Milchama. Does his death result in the return of the Rotzeach to his city? The Mishnah. Echod Moshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, whether it be a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with the anointing oil, the Echod Hamru B'Begadim, whether it be a Kohen Gadol who ascended to the position of high priesthood at a period of time that the Shemen HaMishcha was no longer in use, but his method of ascension was through the wearing of the 8 high priestly garments, the Echod She'ovar M'Meshichuso, or whether it be a Kohen Gadol who served as a replacement Kohen Gadol, in the event that the official Kohen Gadol experienced some kind of psul, and someone else replaced him, and when the original one became better, the psul, the restricting factor, ceased to be present, so the original one returns to his office. The replacement gentleman leaves that office. He is referred to as the Moshuach She'ovar. That's She'ovar M'Mishichuso. The death of any one of these people, Machzir Esorotzeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Moshuach Milchama Machzir Esorotzeach. The Kohen Gadol, who was anointed to lead the people into battle, also, his death would result in the Rotzeach returning to his community. Lefikoch, Imoyseim Shokainem, Mesabkis Lehem Mechio, Uksus. The mothers of these Kohanim that were featured in the Mishnah provide for the Roitzchim all types of food and clothing. In other words, they would treat with a special treatment the murderers, so that they would not pray for the sons of these women, the Kohanim that we refer to, for their death. So in order to prevent them or to dissuade them or provide motivation for them not to pray, they would provide all kinds of extras for the Roitzchim. Minohani Mili. From where do we learn the fact that different Kohanim, the death of these different types of Kohanim Gedolim, could result in the return of the Rotzeach to his community? Amar of Kana de Makra. The pasuk says, and we're going to notice a series of sukkim quoted. We've numbered them as you look ahead in the next couple of lines. 1 through 3 are enumerated. The pasuk says, "V'yoshav bo ad mois hakayin hagodol." Uksiv. The first pasuk says that the Rotzeach shall dwell in the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. Uksiv ki be'ir Miklato yeshev ad mois hakayin hagadol. Another pasuk says he shall dwell in the city of refuge until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Uksiv va'achrei mois hakayin hagadol. A third pasuk. we've dashed, underlined the word Hagadol in each one of the cases to point out the reference to the three Kehanim that opened up the Mishnah. For Rabbi Yehuda, he made reference to a fourth individual, a Moshuach Mechoma. Ksiv Kro Achrina. There's another pasuk that says Loshuv Losheves Ba'aretz Ad Mois HaKayeh, that he shall dwell in the Ir Miklat until the Kohen dies. The Idach, the Tanakama, who did not make an accounting for this pasuk, Midalog Ksiv Hagadol, from the fact that the word Hagadol is absent, Chag Mehanochu. This pasuk that Rebbe cited is simply a reference to one of the original Kohanim that were dealt with by the Tanakama, but it's not a reference to another, to a new figure. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Hashpas Tfilosim Shel HaRoitzchim B'Shogeg HaChayei HaKohanim, the effect of the prayers of the murderers on the life of the Kohanim, the Kohanim Gedolim. The Mishnah made reference to their providing the mothers of these Kohanim providing dainties or extras for the Roitzchim so as to prevent them, the Roitzchim, from praying for the death of the Kohanim. Taimo dolo matzlu. The reason that they don't die is because the Roitzchim don't pray. Matzlu has to do with prayer. Ha matzlu maisi. Are we to infer that had the Roitzchim prayed for the death of the Kehanim, Maisi, they would have died? V'hoksiv. We have a pasuk that says, Kitzipor lenud kidror la'uf kain kilas chochinam lo tavo. The pasuk describes that kilas chinam, a unwarranted curse, doesn't come. So, here, if they were praying for the death of these Kohanim, who says that these Kohanim are worthy of dying? We would assume that they're pious individuals. They're not worthy of dying. Therefore, what effect could their tefillah possibly have in the first place? And as a result of this question, why should the mothers of these Kohanim Gedolim have bothered themselves in the first place? The prayers, had they prayed, wouldn't have had any effect. So the Gemara answers, Omar Hu Saba, a certain elderly gentleman said, Mipirke de Rava Shmieli, I heard from the Shiur, from the teachings of Rava, that this is not an example, the situation involving the Kohen Gadol and the Roitzchim is not an example of a Kilul Aschinam, of an unwarranted curse. Why? Shahoyo lohen levakesh rachamim al doiram velo bikshu. These Kohanim Gedolim should have prayed for mercy on their generation, and they didn't. They didn't pray sufficiently. Had they prayed sufficiently, then this whole unfortunate incident wouldn't have taken place in the first place. So, they, as a result of this, the fact that a murder did take place, that shows that there was something lacking in the Kohanim Gedolim, and hence there is an element or there is a basis for the klala to take hold. Therefore, it was the mothers of these Kohanim were motivated to stop the Roitzchim from praying. The Ika the Amri Kidei Shiyispalu al Beneim Shelo Yomusu. Another version of this topic is that which we said that the mothers of the Kohanim would provide extras for the Roitzchim. This was to encourage them, the Roitzchim, to pray for the welfare, for the longevity of these women's sons, the Kohanim Gedolim, for the longevity of the Kohanim Gedolim. Time of the Maslu. So we're saying from here that their longevity would be a function of the prayer of the Reitzchim. Hallo Maslu, Maisi. Had they not prayed for their longevity, would they die? My Havi Lei Lemevad. What do you want from the Kohen Gadol? Why should he die in the event of the lack of prayers on his behalf? That's the basic question. We've added here a brackets to help in the reading. The reading indicates that up till this point in the Gemara, the basic question has been asked. And let's see the note that accompanies these brackets by viewing the star on the side. Hasegrayim marim. These brackets demonstrate the ad kan ikur hatmiyah. Up till now is the point, is the main point of the wonderment. Besocham, within the brackets, muvah shnei bituyim. There will be two phrases, two expressions, shemitarim tamiyazu, that illustrate this particular expression of wonderment. What we're saying here is that if there's no prayer on behalf of the Kohanim, they will die. Why should they die? Someone else committed a wrong. Someone else committed the murder, the Retzach B'Shogeg. Why? Because of that, should the Kohanim die? And this idea of A, doing something, and B, suffering, is captured in the following two different expressions. Hocha Amrinan, here in Bovel, we say Tuvia Chota Vazigud Mangid. Tuvia sins and Zigud, these are names, Tuvia and Zigud. Tuvia sins and Zigud should get, Mangid should get lashed. Hosam Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they use an expression, Shem Nosiv Umavgoi Gozir. This is a reference to the story in the Torah involving Shem taking the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, of Dinah. He wanted to marry her, and because he wanted to marry her, Mavgoi is the name of is a stama name, just a random name. Gozir means to have a bris mila done. If you look in the story in the Torah, one saw that because Shem wanted to take her, the whole city had to experience a bris mila. And that illustrates this idea that one individual does something, someone else should have to bear the guilt for it. So that is the question. Omar Hahu Sava. So Hahu Sava answers me, Pirkei de Rava Shmieli, I heard from the Shira, from the teachings of Rava, Shehoya Lohen Levakesh Rachmim Al Doron, the Kehanim Gedolim should have prayed for the welfare of their generation, Velo Bikshu, and they didn't pray sufficiently. And as a result of that, the unfortunate murder took place, and therefore the Kehanim themselves should pay. So it's not a function of someone else having done something and the Kohen suffering. It's a function of the Kohen's own lacking that results in his deserved death. Hence, there would be a need for the Reitzim to pray that the Kohanim should not die. To illustrate this idea, Kihoda Hu Gavro, the Achli Aryeh, there was once upon a time an individual that was consumed by a lion, Berichuk Tlosa Parsi Mineid Rebishuban Levi. Death took place 3 parsa, 12 mil or 12 kilometers from the area of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. As a result of that, Eliyahu Hanavi, who used to appear on a regular basis to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, stopped seeing him for 3 days. An expression of wrath, of being upset. So why was Eliyahu upset with Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi? Because Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is responsible for the welfare of that which takes place in his vicinity. And as a result of some unfortunate incident taking place, it shows a certain lack in Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, in light of what we said above, the lack of his sufficient level of prayer to have prevented this unfortunate thing from having taken place. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the double underline appears. This double underline appears with dots in it to distinguish it from the previous double underlining that we saw above on the Omid. We also have an explanation on the side, the Nosei Mivneh, the topic heading, with a structural note. So we see the double underline featured. Koicha shel kilulas chacham. The strength of the curse of a sage, of a wise man. The point one, afilu b'chinam, even if it is without basis, the mere fact that he issued the curse is enough for it to take hold, even though it was without basis. And number two, afilu al tanai, even if the taking hold of the curse was conditional, and that condition was not met, nevertheless, in other words, the conditions for the curse to have taken place did not come to be, nevertheless, the curse will take hold. We've also featured with a bow tie marking, the word menolon, this is to highlight the point at which the Gemara will seek out the source for these particular claims. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kilas Chacham Afilu Bechinam Hiba. By the way, before we read any further in the Gemara, we ought to draw our attention to the long marking. We are making a point in the Gemara. This is the point that Rav introduced, the Kilas Chacham Afilu Bechinam Hiba. This will last. It will take several lines of Gemara to develop this particular point. You'll notice the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun that's encircled. Nun represents nekuda, a point, with a dashed vertical line that follows. That means that the lines that are opposite this dashed vertical line, the lines of Gemara that are opposite this marking, are all part of developing this point. So the question was raised, from where do we know that Chilas Chacham, the curse of a sage, even if it's for nothing, if even without basis, the curse could take hold? Menolan, from where do we know this? And once again, we mentioned before that this word Menolan is featured with a bow tie. You'll notice a second one toward the lower part of the page. So from where do we know this? Me Achitofel, from the story involving Achitofel, as is told by the Gemara. Shebeshah shekoro David shisin, when David was preparing the shisin. The shisin is a reference to tubes that ran down the Mizbeach into the ground. Pipes or tubes that ran into the ground. In this case, he dug out these tubes that were that functioned in the context of the Nisuch HaYayin and Nisuch HaMayim that took place on the Mizbeach. David HaMelech prepared these, and as he was doing it, Kofa Tehoima. Kofa means to float up. Tehom means the depths. Waters from the depths started to flow upwards. Ba the mishtafa liyama, and they threatened the world with being deluged with the mishtafa shitafon, a flood. Omar, mahu lichtov shem achaspa. David inquired. He raised the question: can I write the name of God on a piece of on a shard, umishta betoma, and throw it down into the depths, into those holes in the ground, from where the water was threatening to rise and flood the world? The Leku Aduchte, and by throwing it, the shard with God's name written on it, it will cause the waters, the Leku, to stand Aduchte in their place. In other words, to remain where they are and not inundate the world. David raised the question, is it mutter to do this, to write the name of God? And the problem being that if one writes the name of God on the shard and throws it into the water, it will become erased, and that's forbidden to do with regard to the Shem Hashem, with God's name. The Gemara continues with the story. Leko de Omar Leimidi, no one said anything, no one responded. Omar, David, who in our case represents the Chacham, he said, Kol hayodea dover zeh v'eino omro, anyone who knows the resolution to this question and doesn't say it, yechonek begrono, shall be strangled in his throat. In other words, he'll die through strangulation. Nosa Achitofel Kavachomer Ba'atzmo. Achitofel raised a Kavachomer. He developed a Kavachomer on his own. Omar, and he said, he will be developing a Kavachomer from the topic of the Sota woman, the suspected woman married woman who's suspected of immorality. She's called a Sota. And the process in order to determine her innocence or guilt involves the writing of a parsha which has Shemos Hashem on the parsha, and the parsha is thrown into water that she eventually drinks. Uma la'asoy shalom bein ish li'ishto. Mind you, in order to make peace between a private couple, a man and his wife, in order to hopefully show her innocence, Omrod Hatoira. The Torah says, Shmi, my name, Shenichta B'kdusha, that is written in holiness, Yimoche Alamayim, shall be erased over the water. And as we mentioned before, there's something called Parsha Sota is written, and that Parsha, there's a psukim from the Torah that have Hashem's name in it, and that's thrown into water. Hence, his name would get erased in the water. But in all honesty, and for the sake of accuracy, the parsha, technically speaking, was erased over the water. It was, we'll say, it was scratched out over the water, and it's that water that she drank. But for our purposes, we see the Shem Hashem being erased for the purpose of shalom bein ish lish, though, l'chola oilam kulo, in order to create shalom for the whole world, lo kol shekein, it, all the more so, to create a situation of peace for the whole world, to save it from inundation, all the more so, it would be allowed. Amale, shari, Achitofel, after developing this kal v'chomer on his own, announced to David, it is okay. Kosav Shema Chazba, David prepared the Shema Shem on the shard, Shodi Atama, threw it down into the depths, Nochas Vekom Aduchte, and the water descended and was restored to its original level of depth, saving the world. After you get to this point in the Gemara, what do you see? David HaMelech issued a curse concerning anyone who does not reveal. In other words, anyone who would tell him the answer would not be subject to the curse. Achitofel told him the answer. So you would have thought he shouldn't be subject to the curse. And yet, Valfilu Hachiksiv, and even so, the Pasuk says, Vachitofel ro kilo nasto atsoso, in a different context, in the context of the Avshalom rebellion. Achitofel saw that his counsel wasn't followed. Vayachvish es hachamor, vayokam vayelech el beso. He left the Avshalom camp and went home. El beso el iro. Vayetzav el beso. He issued a will. Vayechonek. Notice it means he strangled. He became strangled. We've dashed underlined this vayechonek. Compare this with the previous dashed underline expression, several lines up, you see Yechonek Begrono, that was the curse that David HaMelech issued, and that in fact came to be, Vayechonek. He was strangled. He killed himself through strangulation. Omar Rabbi Kilas Chocham Afilu Al Tnai Hiba. The curse of a sage can come about even when the conditions for that curse to have taken place are not met. Minola, from where do we know this? Here, too, we have a long point marking. It's shorter than the previous one, but it involves the Gemara till the bottom of the page. So from where do we know this? Me'eli. We know it from the story involving Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel Hanavi's birth. De'kamale Eli l'Shmuel. The Kohen Gadol, Eli, said to Shmuel, Ko yase l'cho elokim v'cho yosif im techached mimeni dafar. Thusly, Kodesh Baruch Hu will do to you if you withhold anything from me. Eli was questioning Shmuel that Shmuel should reveal everything that he, Eli, requested to him. V'afagav deksiv, even though it says, Vayaged lo Shmuel es kol advar v'lo chiched mimenu, Shmuel revealed everything as per the Eli's request. He didn't withhold anything from him. So a condition for the klola to take place, the condition for it to take place was not met because he fulfilled the request of Eli. So there's no reason, so to speak, for the klola to happen. And even so, it says, v'lo holchu banav bidrochav. The sons of Shmuel did not follow in the level of piety of their father Shmuel, which is explained a little further in the Rashi, Afilu al Tanai. The Rashi in the outside column explains the lo niskaima Tanai. The conditions for the curse to have been met were not, the conditions were not fulfilled. Vafa became he ba. Nevertheless, the curse came to ha klola al Tanai hoisa. The klola, the curse was issued conditionally im techachay mimeni. If you withhold anything from me, velonis kayim, and it wasn't fulfilled, those conditions weren't fulfilled, shelo kiched, Shmuel did not withhold anything, vafilu, v'afal pikein, niskaimo haklola, and even so, the klola was fulfilled, the curse came to be, dechtiv. The pasuk says, velo holchu bana bedrochav, and his sons did not follow in his ways, in his pious ways, v'zu klola kilo eli, and this is the klola, this is a fulfillment of the curse that Eli cursed him, ko yase lecha, meaning, kemo shena seli, just like by me, she'ein bonai mehuganim, my sons, the sons of Eli, were improper, so too, Shmuel experiences a situation of a similar nature, in a manner of speaking, in that his sons, Shmuel's sons, also did not reach the level of their father, of Shmuel, just like was the case with Eli and his sons. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Here we have a new point before we go on in the Gemara, let's first take a look at the topic heading, Nidui, excommunication. Afilu al Tanai Tzorach Hafora. Even if the excommunication is issued conditionally, which would mean that in the event that the conditions are not met, there is no excommunication. Even so, it needs to be undone. The excommunication needs hafora. This point is loimdim meha. We learn from the fact that atzmoisav shil Yehuda hoyu megugalim ba'oro, the bones of Yehuda, the skeleton of Yehuda, which accompanied the Jewish people during their exodus from Mitzrayim. Yehuda was taken from Mitzrayim, as was the case with the rest of the tribes, the rest of the Shvatim. Unlike the rest of the Shvatim, the bones of Yehuda were jumbled up. This phenomenon of the bones being jumbled up is a reflection of his having been in a state of excommunication. Yehuda and his excommunication, its roots are in the story involving the sending of Binyamin to Mitzrayim at the time that Yosef was serving as the viceroy of Egypt. Yaakov Avinu hesitated in sending Binyamin. He didn't want some misfortune to befall him. So Yehuda took responsibility for the welfare of Binyamin. And he said that if I don't bring him to you, then v'chatosi l'cho kol ayomim, I will be considered sinning to you all of my life. This is an expression, as far as the Gemara here is concerned, an expression where he's invoking a self-imposed excommunication in the event that some misfortune befalls Binyamin. At the end of the day, Yehuda protected Binyamin. The feared misfortune did not take place, and yet we find that the excommunication, this self-imposed excommunication, took place. This is learned from the following story. Before we read the Gemara itself, let's take note of the fact that a long point marking appears from the top line of the Gemara. To the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, you see a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. That means that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this dashed vertical line form the point. Omar of Yehuda Amarav, Nidui al Tnai Tzorech Hafora, that a excommunication that is stated conditionally needs to be undone. And as we mentioned, even in the event that the conditions for the excommunication do not take place. Minolan, from where do we know this idea? Mi Yehuda, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Yehuda says to Yaakov, Im lo havi'osiv elecha, if I don't bring him, Binyamin, back to you, then I would be considered sinning to you, chachatasi lecha kol ayomim. V'amar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar of Yonison, my Dichtiv, what is the point of the Pasuk that says, Yechi Reuven va'al yomois, v'zois liyuda? Rashi, at the top, says, "My dichtiv yechi Ruvain v'zos Yuda, ma ro'a lusmach Yudu Ruvain." What in the Torah was felt necessary to place Yehuda next to Ruvain? The pasuk here is coming from the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas V'zos HaBracha. So Moshe Rabbeinu blesses Ruvain, and right after that, v'zos Yuda. And a second question is, why does the bracha regarding Yehuda open up with the expression of vizos, and this to Yehuda? Regarding the bones of the rest of the Shvatim, their skeletons were intact. But the bones of Yehuda were jumbled up. Omar Loshon Zeh. Therefore, he used this expression, Yichi Reuven, Klomar, Reuven Shildo Kayemis. Kilu Huchai, the fact that his skeleton is intact, it's as if he's alive. Vizos Tiel Yehuda Shem Gugalim. And this should befall Yehuda that his bones are jumbled up. Atzos Kol Shvatim Yosem Mitzrayim. The bones of the rest of the Shvatim came out of Mitzrayim. Vinosum Benehem, their offspring, carried them by Midbar in the desert. Vizeu Shomar Yosef Lochiv. And this to Le'echov, this is what Yosef meant when he said to his brothers, Velisim Es Asmosai Mizei Yitchem. I want my bones to be brought out of here with you. Well, they themselves died, so what does that mean, with you? Im atzmoseichem, together with your bones. So when Yosef issued a request specifically concerning himself, that he should be taken out of Mitzrayim, together with them when they are taken out of Mitzrayim. The Gemara now explains or answers this question about the juxtaposition of psukim concerning Reuven and Yehuda. Kol Oysan, the Gemara continues, Kol Oysan Arboim Shana Shay Yisrael B'Midbar, the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, Atzmoisav Shehuda Hayu Megugalim Ba'aron, the bones of Yehuda were jumbled up in the casket. Ad She'omad Moshe Ubike Shalav Rachamim, until Moshe Rabbeinu arose and prayed for their welfare. Omar Lefonav, he said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we will want to note that as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a numbering system involving numbers that are placed in small triangles. There are a series of steps that characterize the prayers of Moshe in this context. Ribono shel Olam, mi goram Reuven shiyode? Who is it that caused Reuven to acknowledge his sin? Yehuda is responsible for Reuven confessing, for acknowledging his sin. V'zois liYehuda, Shma Hashem kol Yehuda. Should this befall Yehuda, that his bones are jumbled up? Hearken unto the voice of Yehuda. With that having been said, Oal Evorei L'Shofa, the bones reassembled into their proper sockets. Stage 2. Lo have komai li lei lemesifta derekia. Even though his skeleton became whole again, nevertheless, in the heavenly yeshiva, the mesifta derekia, Yehuda was not allowed entrance. This is a function of the excommunication that we mentioned before. So, being that he was in a state of excommunication, he wasn't allowed into the mesifta derekia. Moshe Rabbeinu continues by saying, "V'el amo tivienu, he shall be brought to his nation." Stage 3, Lo havet koyoda lemishka lemitrach b'shmeitza b'hadi rabbonan. So even though he was granted entrance to the heavenly yeshiva, he nevertheless was unable to conduct himself in Torah discussions with the rest of the sages. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yodov rav lo. And with that having been said, he was able to conduct himself in the yeshiva shalmala. Stage 4, Lo havet yoda lefuki kushya. Even though he was able to engage in discussion, he was unable to offer answers to questions. It may be noted that in Maseches Sota, the same story appears with a slightly different girsa. There, the Gemara says, "Lo havet kosalka leishmeitz aliba dehilchasa." The Gemara, the version of this fourth version, as it appears in Sota, says that even though he was able to conduct Torah discussions, nevertheless, conclusions were not based on his opinion. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'ezer mitzorav tiyeh," and with that, so he regained. Yehuda was able to gain prominence. We see from all of this that, as a result of his issuing a self-imposed excommunication, he needed the prayers of Moshe, which would be the equivalent of the hafara, the undoing that was mentioned earlier, in order to enable him to get out of this state of excommunication of nidui. Ibaya Laho, question is raised concerning the points mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the deaths of the Kohanim Gedolim. The Misas Kulan Hu Chozer, is it with the death of all of the Kohanim that were featured in the Mishnah? Oidoma B'Misas Echod Mehen, or is it sufficient to have the death of one of them? For example, if you have a situation that there is a Kohen Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha and a Kohen She'ovar, that are alive at the time that someone goes to an Ir Miklat, in order for the Rotsach to experience release, to merit leaving the Ir Miklat, is it necessary for both of those Kohanim to die, or is it sufficient for one of them to die? Odilma b'misas echod mehen. Often in our markings, when the Gemara presents a question with two sides and an Odilma statement in the middle, we mark it off as Aleph Odilma and squiggle on the expression Odilma base, the second. So you see clearly the two sides of the question. Toshma, let's try to get an answer. The Mishnah says, Nigmar dino b'loy kohen gadol, eino yoytze misham le'olam. If the Rotsach experiences an issuing of a verdict without a kohen gadol, he doesn't leave ever. The im isa, if it were so that with the death of one of the kohanim, he could leave the Ir Miklat, the Hadar b'dehanoch, let him experience exit, let him merit departure through the death of one of them. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Lehadar b'hanoch b'misas meruba b'begodim oy b'sheovar m'mishichuso, let him merit departure through the death of one of the others, the Merubah Gadim or the Mishuach Sha'ar. Elalav, from the fact that it says, Eino Yotze Misham Le'olam, Shmamina Kulu, that it's necessary to have the death of all of them. So that if you have a situation where there's a Gemar Din without a Kohen Gadol, he doesn't leave. So the Gemara rejects this Toshma, rejects this attempt to conclude that the death of one would be insufficient, and says, Bidaleka, the case featured in the Mishnah is that there was a Gemar Din without any of the Kohanim around. Not that just one was missing. There were none of them. And that's why he's Eino Yotze Misham Le'olam. But had there been one of the Kohanim Gadolim around at the point of his Gemar Din, even though one of the others was missing, through the death of that one that was there, he would be able to merit leaving. So with this rejection, we could then restore the possibility of the Bey's possibility, but that Misas Echad Mehem would be sufficient. No say. We say have a topic heading before we go into the continuation of the Gemara on the side of the Gemara. Mikrim she'eno goyle, situations where there's no golus, meaning he doesn't go to the Ir Miklat. Mikrim she'eno yotze mo'ir miklat lolam, and situations where he doesn't leave the city ever. The Mishnah. Number one, mishenigmar dino. A person reached a verdict of guilt. Guilt meaning that he has to go, he's sentenced to an Ir Miklat. That's called the Gemar Din. And after the Gemar Din, Meis Kohen Gadol, then the Kohen Gadol died, Hareza Eino Gole. He doesn't have to go to the Ir Miklat. The Rotzeach B'Shogeg doesn't have to go. Case 2, Im Ad Shaloi Nigmar Dino, Meis Kohen Gadol. If prior to the Gemar Din, the Kohen Gadol died, Uminu Achir Tachtov, and they appointed a replacement Kohen Gadol, Ula Achar Mikan Nigmar Dino, and after that, after the new Kohen Gadol was installed, there was a Gemar Din, the verdict was issued, Choser B'Misoso Shosheni, with the death of the new Kohen Gadol, the Rotsach will be able to leave the Ir Miklat. Case 3, Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, a guilty verdict, guilty of exile, was reached in a situation that there was no Kohen Gadol. So there's a Gemar Din. At the point of Gemar Din, there's no Kohen Gadol around. Veha Horeg Kohen Gadol, or someone who kills a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol Shehorag, or a Kohen Gadol that himself committed a murder. Rotseach B'Shogeg, Eino Yotze Misham Le'olam. He never leaves. The Eino Yotze, this is a new point. A Rotsach B'Shogeg does not leave loy le'edus mitzvah velo le'edus mamon. He will not leave in order to testify for a matter of a mitzvah, nor to testify for financial matters, velo le'edus nefashas, nor to testify in a capital case. Vafilu Yisrael tzrichino, even if you have a man who is needed by the entire Jewish people, vafilu sar tzavo Yisrael kiyoyev mitzvah, even if the rotzeach b'shogeg happens to be the chief of staff, the someone like Yoyev ben Tzruah, who was David HaMelech's chief of staff, the top general, if he committed a murder b'shogeg, eino yotze misham le'olam, he does not leave the city of refuge, even though his services are of dire necessity. Shenemar asher nos shama, Sham tehe diroso, Sham there he shall dwell, Sham tehe misoso, there he shall die, Sham tehe kvuroso, and there he shall be buried. An indication that he does not leave there for any purpose. Keshem shu'ir koletes, kach tchumo kole, just like the basic city provides refuge, so too the tchum, this is the area around the city, also provides refuge. A murderer that left the tchum of the Ir Miklat, the tchum is the area we just mentioned, the area around the Ir Miklat, and he left that area, and the Goel Adam met up with him, the avenger met up with him. Rabbi Yosef Omer, mitzvah biad Goel Adam, urushus biad kol Adam. It's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam to kill this Rotzech B'shogeg, and it's optional for anyone else. In other words, a Goel Adam has a mitzvah to kill him, and it's an option to kill him if done by anyone else. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus Biad Goel Adam. It's an option, it's not a mitzvah, it's a lesser nature, but he has the option, the avenger has an option. The Chol Adam Chayovin Olav, but anyone else who would kill the Rotzeach who left the Tum of the Ir Miklat, they would be guilty of a capital offense. My taima, looking at the reisha, the Gemara is asking, what is the reasoning behind it? Amar Abaye, kavachomer. The reisha said that if a gemar din was reached concerning the rotzeach, a verdict was issued concerning the murderer to go to Golos, and after that, the Kohen Gadol died. Namely, prior to his actual going to the Ir Miklat, the Kohen Gadol then died. The Mishnah says he doesn't have to go to the Rotzeach, doesn't have to go to the Ir Miklat. What is the basis of this? Om Rabbaye, Kavachomer. He says you can use Kavachomer logic to explain. Uma mi shegola kvar, yetze achshav, mind you, someone who already was in an Ir Miklat, with the death of the Kohen Gadol, he now goes free. Mi shelo gola, someone who didn't go in the first place, eino din shelo yigla, certainly should not have to go. So the Gemara asks, it asks on this logic, the Dilma, it could be, hai de gola ichbarle, hai de lo gola lo. The one who experienced the exile to the Ir Miklat, he received his atonement. This guy, who didn't go to the Ir Miklat, didn't get his atonement. So the fact that there was a Gemar Din and prior to his going to the Ir Miklat, the Kohen Gadol died, that should not be reason for the Rotzeach not to go to Golos. So the Gemara rejects this particular point and says, "Midi galus kol mechapro." Is it so that the exile is what serves as the atonement? Misas koyin hu de mechapro. It's the death of the Kohen Gadol that serves for that provides his atonement. And being that the Gemar Din took place and then the Kohen Gadol died, there he thereby receives his atonement, and therefore the objection to the Kal Vachomer falls away. Imad Shalo Nigmar Dino V'chulei. The Mishnah featured a case where there was a prior to the Gemar Din a Kohen Gadol died, and then a new Kohen Gadol was established, was appointed, and after that the Gemar Din was issued. After there was a replacement Kohen Gadol, the Gemar Din was issued. The murderer then goes to the Ir Miklat. The Mishnah says that with the death of the second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, he will go free. From where do we know this? Omar of Kana, Omar the Omar Kra. V'yoshav bo ad mois hakayin hagodol asher moshach oisoi b'shemen hakodesh. And he, the murderer, will dwell there until the Kohen Gadol dies. The one that he, that if you read the pasuk simply, it comes out, the one that the murderer anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. V'chi hu Mishcha? Is it so that the murderer is the one that appointed, that anointed the new Kohen Gadol? That's not so. He's not the one that anointed him. Elo, but rather, it's a reference to Zeshen Nimshach Biyomov. The Kohen Gadol that was anointed in his time, namely, he was anointed before the Gemar Din, and then there was a Gemar Din with in the presence of this new Kohen Gadol. Upon his death, the death of this new Kohen Gadol, the Rotzeach will go free. The Gemara asks, "My Havelei Lemevad, Rashi." My Havelei Lahai Koyain Lemevad. What could this Koyain have possibly done? The new Koyain have possibly done. Me'achar Shadayin Lohoyo Koyain Gadol Kishahor Agzeh. When the murder took place, this fellow wasn't a Koyain Gadol at all. He becomes a Koyain Gadol only at the point that the court proceedings are taking place. So Loma Hu Ne'enash. Why should he be the subject of punishment? Namely, why should his death be the reason for the return of the Rotzach to his city? The Gemara answers, Hoyo loy levakesh rachamim shigmor dino lizchus velo bikesh. What happened? This Kohen Gadol, he was appointed before the final verdict of the murderer was stated. Being that that's the case, he was in the position of high priesthood prior to the Gemar Din. He should have prayed that the Gemar Din, that the final verdict, would have been one of innocence. The fact that it didn't result in that shows a lacking in this new Kohen Gadol, and therefore he is the one that is labeled as the candidate for death that would then result in the freeing of this murderer. Omar Abaye, Naktinon. We have a tradition, Nigmar Dino Umes. If there was a Gemar Din for Golus to be sent to an Ir Miklat, and the Rotzeach died, in other words, he died before getting to the Ir Miklat, Malichin es Hatzmoisov L'Sham, we bring his bones to the Ir Miklat. Dechtiv L'Shuv L'Sheves Bo'aretz Ad Mois Akayin. The Gemara explains, Ve'ezu Yeshiva Shiba'aretz, what kind of dwelling is it that is in the ground? Kind of dwelling, where do you have the situation of dwelling in the ground? Hevi Omer Zukfur, it's a reference to burial. So the Pasuk hints to this idea that a person who received a Gemar Din, a verdict for Golus, and died before going into Golus, his bones are buried in the Ir Miklat. Tona, we have a Tanaic source. Meis Kodem Shemeis Kohen Gadol. A Rotzeach that was in an Ir Miklat that died before the Kohen Gadol died. Molichin Atzmoisov al Kivrei Avoisov. His bones are taken to his family plot, the burial ground of his forebearers. Dechtiv Yoshuv HaRotzeach el Eretz Achuzasoi. Ezehu Yeshiva Shi Be'eretz Achuzasoi. What kind of dwelling is it that's in the ground of his holding? In other words, his inheritance property. Hevei Omer Zukfura. This is a reference to burial. Burial is a type of dwelling in the ground. The Gemara now raises a new discussion. Before we go on, let us glance at the topic heading, the Nosei. Nigmar Dino Shorotzich Liglos. A final verdict is reached concerning the murder that he is to be sent to an Ir Miklat. So the final verdict is issued, and at that time there happens to be a Kohen Gadol. V'nasa Kohen Gadol ben Grusho ben Chalutza. And afterwards it is revealed through witnesses that the Kohen Gadol is unfit to have been a Kohen Gadol, because he is the son of a Kohen, his father, who married a divorced woman, or a woman who received chalitza.
How do we view this situation? The Gemara. Nigmar dino v'nase kohen ben grusho ben chalutza. A Gemar din for Golos was reached, and it was then determined that the kohen gadol is a non-kohen gadol by virtue of the fact that he's a ben grusho ben chalutza. Plini ba Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. There's a controversy between these two Rabbonan. Chad omer mesa kahuna. We view this situation as if there was a Gemar din and the Kohen Gadol then died. And we know from above that a case like that where there's a Gemar din and then the Kohen Gadol dies, he doesn't have to go to Golos. That's mesa kahuna. Just like it's as if the Kohen Gadol died. Chad omer botla kahuna. The other opinion says, at the point that it's revealed that he's unfit to be Kohen Gadol, retroactively it shows that there was no Kohen Gadol there to begin with. And that's a situation that we've described above, where there is a Gemar Din with no Kohen Gadol around. And we've said about that he doesn't leave Golos ever. The Gemara here raises a question, and as far as our shiur today is concerned, we will simply raise the question, and we'll have to leave the answer or the response to this for another time. But the question is, can we say that this machlokas amoroyim between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha parallels a machlokas tanoim? Lemo bepluto de rabbelozer Rabbi Yeshua komiflegi. Disnan. Here we have a Tanaic source featuring a machlokas tanoim hoya oimed umakriv agabi hamizbeach, a kohen. Here it's not limited to a kohen gadol, but we have a kohen that's serving as a kohen and offering korbanos on the mizbeach. The noda shehu ben grusho ben chalutza, and then it becomes known that he is unfit to serve as a kohen because he's a son of a grusha or a chalutza. What's the story with regard to the korbanos that he has offered till this point? Rabbi Elazar omer kol korbanos shikriv psulim. Rabbi Elazar views this as in a retroactive sense, that all the korbanos that he offered are unfit. Therefore, anyone who was relying on this kohen gadol to have offered their respective korbanos, they'll have to do something about it. And if they're obligatory korbanos, they'll have to bring them again. V'Rebbe Yoshua Machshir. Rabbi Yoshua says that even though it's now revealed that he is unfit to be a kohen gadol, what took place till now is legitimate. Now, how should we parallel the shitas? Man de Omar Mesa, the opinion above with regard to the Kohen Gadol who was found to Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, we say it's as if the Kohen Gadol died, namely, that up till this point, he is viewed as a Kohen Gadol. He is viewed as legitimate, and his death now is like the death of a Kohen Gadol after a Gemar Din. So that opinion would be Rabbi Yeshua. That would parallel Rabbi Yeshua, who says that everything up till now, as far as the korbanos are concerned, they were all kosher up till now. Uman domer botla, the opinion that we saw above that says that it's retroactively revealed that there was never a kohen gadol in place. In other words, it was a case of a gemar din without a kohen gadol. Rabbi Eliezer, that would seem to parallel Rabbi Eliezer that says that all the korbanos that were offered till now are revealed to have been retroactively no good. So it would appear that the machlokas amorim could parallel this machlokas tanoim. The Gemara at the top of Yud Beis will tell us that this attempt to draw the parallel is not absolutely necessary, but rather the Gemara at the top of Yud Beis will say the machlokas amorim is within Shitas Rabbi Yeshua alone. In other words, as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, he was willing to declare all of the korbanos retroactively no good. He certainly would say he would take the opinion of Botla Kahuna and the Manda Omer that said Mesa Kahuna would not try to fit into the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. However, with regard to the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, both Amoroim will claim that their sheetus could fit into Rabbi Yeshua. The question would be raised, how could it be Rabbi Yeshua said that all the korbanos are kosher, all those that were offered till now are kosher, how will the shita that says bat l'kahuna fit into Rabbi Yeshua? The Gemara there will tell us that Rabbi Yeshua, according to this particular opinion, Rabbi Yeshua makes a special allowance or leniency with regard to korbanos alone. And that we'll see later is based on a pasuk. However, with regard to the Kohen Gadol and the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, even Rabbi Yeshua will agree that there is a problem retroactively. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.